Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Coco Express Show for Saturday, August 17th, 2013. We are really getting past the middle of the month, and the summer is coming to an end. But we still have a lot of weeks to really enjoy the rest of the summer days and nights, so please do so if you can. However, we're not here to discuss the weather. What we're here to discuss today is faith, courage, and wisdom. The guest that we have today appearing on the show comes from California, and her name is Tanina Stevens, better known as Sugar T. Sugar T is a rapper, well, has been known as a rapper. In 2011, she received the Legend Humanitarian Award and Best Rapper Award. She is considered one of the godmothers of hip-hop. However, she is an amazing woman, a woman who had to overcome a lot. And this brings to mind something that the host of You, the Best Invention Ever, who happens to be my sister, said about something her and my mom discussed. I guess my sister was complaining about something, and my mom said that you're grown now, and you can make the decisions for yourself to choose the life that you want to live. Because when we're kids, we really have to live by the rules and guidelines that our parents set for us. But as we become adults, we make the choices and decisions for ourselves and our families. Well, this particular woman, Ms. Sugar T, she's made some amazing choices and some amazing decisions, and she has overcome some of the most difficult obstacles that a woman could have to endure and deal with. She's overcome teen parenting, domestic violence, violent behavior, alcoholism, and low self-esteem. And she was able to turn it all around and become a strong businesswoman who went back to school, re-educated herself. She's a philanthropist as well, and she's still in the music game for over 25 years. Now, please, allow me to introduce to you Sugar T, Tanina Stevens. Hello.
Hello. Hello. How are you?
I am doing well. How are you today?
I'm wonderful.
Excellent. Excellent. We have so much to discuss because you, from my perspective, I have to take my hat off to you and just say that I am just in awe of what you have accomplished in your life.
Well, thank you so much. Appreciate that.
You're quite welcome. Now, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, pretty much today is just a day that's excellent. I'm performing with Michael Henderson tonight. So I'm honored to do that, showcasing my new album, my new album where I'm introducing the other part of me that has not been exposed to the world, which is Tanina and who I've been, and excited about it.
Well, indeed, you should be. Now, I have always been a fan of the females of hip hop. And I just thought that just to be in that arena and in that particular music sect requires a lot of strength and courage because it's a male dominated industry.
Yeah.
How were you able to manage to be in there and be so successful?
Well, you know, it takes some humps and bumps. Definitely, I try to put my all of my burdens on God and just cry out, you know. And I continuously cry out to God, pray, try to listen and walk by faith, but even in the most broken times. And then just really trying to be honestly around other people that's not just in the music business. People are actually real people that, you know, see you from a real perspective and that's able to bring you something else and give you that balance. And then lastly, just continuously learning and educating myself and trying to be around people that, you know, that share and while giving back to others, just continue to keep my esteem feeling valuable.
I understand that totally. I mean, it's difficult being a woman in business in general. And to have a special gift and talent on top of that, it makes it even more challenging because do you feel as if you had to constantly prove yourself?
Yep, you do, constantly. And it's even, you know, harder when you're when you're known for one thing and they can't take you out that box. Mm-hmm. They just leave you in that box, you know, and there's so much more to you and so much more that you may have done that may not have been as exposed as, you know, as the original art that they may have experienced. So it is difficult, and you got to constantly, you know, find ways in our lives to just kind of just continuously build to make yourself feel good, or else you kind of, you know, continuously boxed into this element that you basically may have even grown out of and quickly and then moved on to something else, but yet, you know, pull it out when you need to, you know, and mm-hmm. that's the most difficult thing.
Now, you say that they tried to kind of pigeonhole you into the hip-hop performer category. Now, I'm going to play a little bit of Recognize so people can hear, you know, who you are also, you know, because you have multi dimensions to you. And this is one of the dimensions
sure.
that I want people to hear and understand.
You better recognize. I got to give it time. And try to get a hustle because I'm always getting mine. Shaking off these busters, knowing that I can't trust the buster. Let's have a step and check what's really going on. My beeper's going on, calling me on my mobile phone. See, you tend to call a dime a dozen, and when it comes to my paper, damn the interruptions. Oh, 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 I'm a fool. Saying my own money as I smuffle your hood. Straight shaking off, you freebie. Shy, please feel me. Straight getting paid. This industry, the thing I grew up in.
Now, tell me, who are you at that time?
I was, you know, a girl that connected to the street mentality, the angry lady that's like, you know, in the mindset of back up off me because, you know, I'm not too much with. I'm minding my own business, you mind yours. If you do, it's going to be a problem. And that's still a part of me, but I only bring it out when I need to. So
I hear you.
So that's who I was most of the time. And now I'm like that sometimes, you know.
Okay.
What I had said earlier about pigeonholing me, it wasn't necessarily only pigeonholing me in the hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
It's more so pigeonholing me into the little sister of E-40.
Okay.
Like I am a baby, you know, and I'm like, I have been a grown woman experience, you know, and not a little bitty baby that's carried by my brother, unfortunately, you know what I mean?
Yes,
and,
I do
and
understand.
That's the pigeonhole.
Mm-hmm. Well, I find that when it's with women in general, I don't often see that men are allowed to be versatile, but women are oftentimes put in a box, and this is the box that you're supposed to stay in and don't come out the box.
Right, exactly. Exactly. That's true. Uh-huh. That's true, because you could hear other...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Yeah, because you could... It's funny you say that, because you could definitely hear other men just all of a sudden try to sing. And mm-hmm. you like... you never hear nobody complaining about it or, you know, not wanting to accept it or anything. So that's a good point.
Now, you had to make a transition in your life based on a lot of the things that you were enduring. So you had to deal with teen parenting and domestic violence, violent behavior, gun violence, alcoholism, and low self-esteem. Now, that's a lot for any individual to endure and also be an artist, a performing artist. How on earth did you keep balance without going bananas?
Oh, well, you know, it's interesting. When you asked me who I was during that song, that's the part of who I was, and that's the part that came out from my anger and also an expression of, you know, of a part of my mentality. So I think the most important, God, I mean, I can't get anybody else the credit off top, God, and then him sending people around me that, you know, when alcohol and violence and anger and fun and fame and all that did not complete me.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that, you know, there was more. And in my heart, I asked for that more in my heart, and God heard my heart. And he just started placing things in my life that made me realize I need to try to figure out why I'm here on earth more so than anything, and really try to develop a personal relationship with him and try to get a better understanding of why I'm here and what our relationship should be about, and why he gave me these gifts to use them to help others, as well as the fact that I had children watching me that kind of always, you know, always, you know, I have to look back at them and say, wow, I want to hide all this stuff from them because I don't want to hurt them, you know, and that was part of what kept, probably 80% of what kept me alive and kept me even conscious of what was going on until I became more mature and continuously broken, asking out and crying out for help, you know, in my heart. You know, so abandonment was a large part of that, because a lot of times I was either judged or abandoned or something was blamed on me based on my behavior, not blaming on others, but, you know, based on whatever behavior I was working with at that time while dealing with a divorce and an abusive relationship all at once. That's what I give the credit to. Kids, God, and brokenness that drove me to God.
Well, you know something? You know what they say, that when before you're born, the script has already been written. So you are going to endure all of the things that you endured because that's what he wanted for you, so that you can turn around and have a testimony that will be able to enable people to overcome just as you did. And
yes.
What's amazing about it is that you went back to school, you got your associate's in business, and a BA in psychology. Now, isn't that amazing?
Yes, I went back to school and completed an AA in business. And because what happened was, you know, people kept on judging me. And I was like, you know, if they got me judged, that, you know, there's this, you know, this basically all the time hood, ghetto, ignorant, hip-hop, black rapper girl. That, you know, that got this certain image and certain, you know, mindset or certain box that they wanted to put me in, which I felt like that could be, you know, that was something that I did not want to live out the rest of my life, being put in that box as an older, more mature, you know, person. And the fact that I look young doesn't help because God did not allow me to age, which is interesting. It's almost like he's gave me continuously second chances. But leaving alcohol alone and understanding that it didn't help me, and going to a different source for you know, for growth, which was the maker of God himself, and having that foundation, you know, as my grandparents being pastors and mothers of the church and being able to know what something else is there, that gave me enough to say I should be more valuable and get more through than just music and entertainment, my life, and also be a role model to my children and to other women like me. And I let people call me ignorant and box me in and put a one-up on me like I'm just stupid or, you know, whatever. And so I went back and wanted to close out every expertise that I connected with in my career. So I did go back and get an AA in business to close that out because I was blessed to, you know, that my brother did raise me as an executive, you know, in the business of music and entertainment. So I understood a lot of the elements behind the scenes to keep me going. But I wanted to sharpen that a little bit and, you know, and create for expertise. And then, of course, the liberal studies degree came from me fishing for what I wanted to do growing up and just taking classes from time to time. And it just turned into the fact that I completed the whole the liberal studies was what I ended up completing on accident. So it made me into a 2-degree AA and liberal studies degree. And then the bachelor's in psychology, it just connected me to wanting to have more credentials and more value and expertise within the element of the youth and family and social industry that connects me to people and behavior, as well as, you know, just having that extra credential if I ever needed to work a 9-to-5 and not have to go to work for $5 an hour. And, of course, I got a little egotistical. And I was like, shoot, I'm already here. I might as well go on and complete the master's degree. And so I completed the master's degree in organizational management because of the businesses that I have and the fact that, again, if I ever needed to go back to work, I don't have to worry about people wanting to kick me around because they think I had a privileged life. And
oh, yeah.
And I can go in as a boss versus coming in as a tail, and also be a nice boss that can help people instead of hurting them and using my authority to be a blessing versus, you know, a hurting and a control freak. And all of that is what encouraged me. And now I'm closing out a supply chain management degree that just kind of helped me out with the ending of my fragrance business.
Oh, my, yeah. Aren't we the ambitious one?
Yeah, it's not easy, though, girl. It's not easy. I mean, it's a sacrifice. I mean,
yeah.
I'll be on my way to the show, and I got to pull over at a Starbucks and jump online and be like, oh, let me just turn my assignment in real quick and pull my whole head around that.
Now, you have a couple of things going other than the music. You have the fragrance production company. It's called Sugar Tea Fragrance. What inspired you to start that?
You know, during I was in a bind. I was in a domestic violence relationship where I knew the guy can become violent because of his background. But my mindset was, you know, if he get back to the fool, I was going to either act the fool with him or, you know, I was going to cut him off. And so if he did, and unfortunately he started acting out, and that led me to saying I need to figure something out, but I'm not ready to go back into music. I had kind of left music, put it on the back burner a little bit, as of course it was still being presented to the world, but I just kind of put that on the back burner, try to find something else that made me a little more at peace while I figured out what type of brand and messaging and all that that I wanted to present to the industry, I mean to the world. And so during that time frame, I didn't have a way to take care of myself, and I kept getting fired from jobs that I tried to get, and I was never happy on a job because I would just get sick to my stomach. But it was a quick crash course of learning a whole lot at one time, and which I guess I was being set up for what I do now, but didn't know it at the time. And I was content trying to work because I didn't want to deal with entertainment at all. I just wanted to be a regular civilian and just take a break for a minute. and do, you know, different things. And so, yes, and so that's what it came about. I got fired off of a job and released from the position. I was set up on the position, which was interesting. It was a lady that was training me that was trying to get the permanent position that was from the same agency, but she trained me wrong, so it made me look like I was unproductive and not doing it correctly. Mm. And she ended up getting a job. Yeah. So I learned a lot about that corporate singing stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But she ended up getting a job, and I didn't. And I was like, oh, my God, how am I going to survive? So all of a sudden I get this check in the mail from my child support, an old child support check that my kid's father had gotten. And they gave it to me. And I was able to do something with it. And I was like, you know what? I'm on a little radio station. I was on a public radio station at the time. And I went on ahead and said I needed something that I could bring in that wasn't musically and something that I like and something new and innovating. And I didn't want to go and license my name to Elizabeth Arden or one of the companies that I could, like, a, you know, how Britney Spears and all the other artists do. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to become an Elizabeth Arden type. I wanted to be a packaging company that could create lines, and not only for myself but for other people, and really, you know, be able to ride that out as a second option for people to have in my collection, in the Sugar Tea collection. And so I started off by getting little things, pieces together of that and researching and this and that. And at the end of the day, I would just get little bottles of perfume that I could sell out my trunk for gas money. And I kind of pushed them like we pushed them, you know, our CDs back in the day when we were, you know, building up our brand independently. And that's how I ended up starting the line. And it encouraged me to get out the relationship that I was in, to have another vision and something else to, you know, to look forward to in the midst of transitioning and reinventing myself.
Now, you have a non-traditional fragrance production company because your company supports social causes, and that is unique and interesting because you also co-sponsor Bling, B-L-E-N-G.
Yes, absolutely. Pretty much
what is
identity.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, tell us what that's about.
Yeah, sure. I dedicated the fragrance line to helping women and girls reach their highest potential. And I focus on disadvantaged women, domestic violence victims. I focus on the reentry community, former foster youth, and ladies in under 200% below poverty level, and CalWORKs recipients, and females and women. And I also hire girls between 14 and 20, and give them professional development, leadership skills, and personal development skills, and paid internships at the Bling. Bling is building lives to employ, nourish, and groom, which is it's a grooming program for girls and for women. And then we have an entrepreneurship program for women, adults between 20 and 28 that still haven't necessarily dealt, you know, gotten their lives together. And so that's called Baby. So Bling is an enterprise. There's a boutique element to it where we actually sell products, and it's a gift shop of gift fashion fragrance. And we dedicate the proceeds towards the organization, and I sponsor it with the Sugar Tea fragrance line and the different music projects that I do, and then of course hire people that could work in it to give them jobs as well.
That is amazing. That is, I mean, really amazing, because you were able not only to turn your condition and situation around, but you also enabled it to be able to be a launching pad for others to be able to do the same. And that's genius, I'm telling you.
Yeah, you know, it was amazing because I didn't know it was going to go that far. I ended up fighting, you know, in the midst of fishing for other things I could do while I'm building up the music image and brand that I'm interested in building and investing in that and doing the things needed to keep moving forward. I ended up in the social industry and doing programs and for girls and learning the whole, you know, element of how to even build it into a business that could help others, you know, as well as help myself, because I enjoy doing it. And so And so it just turned into all this stuff, and I got kind of addicted to it. And so I look for the disadvantaged women to help them, because I've been that woman in that position, and I know what helped me, and I know how it felt, you know, for somebody to say, hey, come on in, let's build you up, and let's find you a, you know, a career that can work for you, and let me find an employer that will work with you, and let me, you know, get your clothes ready and get you nice and, you know, and freshened up, and let's get this, you know, eyelash, you know, on right, you know what I mean? Let's take these off and use the natural stuff. You know, let's get this ponytail off and let's go and throw a little cute weave and let me show you how to do it, so when you can't do it, you know, get to the shop, you can do it yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes,
you know,
I do.
All of that is just I live for those moments.
Now, you, I mean, based on our little conversation, you really had a bad experience in the music industry, just based on some of the things that you said, that you just kind of like said, okay, this has to, I need a break from it. Now, having had the break and having done all of these things, now you're coming back. What brings you back? Who brings you back?
Right. Well, you know, let's be clear. It's not that I had a bad experience in music. It's just the other things that was affected from my focus of music and from the certain things that I have to position or sacrifice for music. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
And
yes.
So it's not necessarily music. It's just what life brought me from living as a musician with that type of a branding, because it attracts people to you, you know, and things to you. That energy, you know, that you're releasing in the earth come back in different ways. So, you know, stemming from the original guy that came basically to tear me down pretty much because he was jealous of me because of my brand, you know, and me sharing with him and, you know, and him trying to destroy me, that's a whole nother book. And at the end of the day, the brokenness that comes with that, the hurt and pain you have for yourself, for your children, for your family that's watching and, you know, what they're dealing with, and then that being mixed into your career and having family, you know, involved in your career, you know, that's like we're trying to protect them all, their own, you know, selves from, you know, maybe what could be considered a bad decision that I made in a week late. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I had to suffer in many ways outside of just the entertainment piece, but it stemmed from, you know, the image and brand of what I was carrying and the things that I was putting out there. You feel me?
Yes, I
and
do.
So,
I understand.
Yeah, so I had a great experience. And, you know, in music when I was in that element. And it still was great at the end, but I needed a change because of what I was representing. And, you know, I'm one of them kind of chicks that's like, you know how you be in a conversation and you like, people be like talking about all this stuff that's real, you know, and you like over there like all you can talk about is the stage. You know, I've never been that kind of person. You know, oh, no, Shady T, you just stay over there because, you know, all you can talk about is music and the stage. We talking about this real stuff over here. You know how to do this, how to do that. And, you know, when your kids are doing this. And, you know, I never want to be that type of a chick.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be in the mix and never lose sight of foundation and being able to connect, you know, with the masses. So because of that, you know, there was always some sort of shakiness that God already knew in my heart what I felt. And that shakiness is what brought me to just really not necessarily pulling back out of music. I pulled out of music for probably about a year, and then I ended up going into teaching choir rehearsal and teaching kids in the church. That kind of, you know, gave me, sufficed me, because I went back to help my grandfather run his church, basically. And I was able to work with the kids and still use music, but in the gospel arena. Then I came back with a gospel album. And then after I released the gospel album, I came back and did a conscious album. And then after that, I started doing a few mix CDs and still doing little features and stuff. So I never totally left music. I just didn't have that as my main focus. You know what I mean? That
yes.
was pretty much, you know, yeah. So just kind of, you know, being clear of that, I, you know, I still have a long history of things that were being done in music, but just trying to figure out what worked for me, where I'm not boxing myself in once again, boxing myself to gospel only, boxing myself into hip-hop only. You know what I mean? So,
yes, yes.
so what brings me into this place of saying, you know what, I'm just going to come fresh and go ahead and expand on my brand, you know, because I ain't going to lie, you know, part of me in hip-hop, I know I could smash the best of them. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm hot. You know, I'm like a teenager still in hip hop. You know, not saying it in an arrogant way, but just saying it in a way that sometimes that's what it is. You know, it's ego. You know what I mean? And so, you know, a lot of people won't say that, but that's what it is. So in terms of letting that go and saying, you know what, I want to do something pretty, you know, something that's beautiful, that still allows me to connect with my hip-hop fans and give them something real, but another part of real, and also expand my fan base and bring something else to the world that could be helpful, but also that's a part of me and that is a story that's a part of my life story in many different facets. And take that to a different place. And it comes to the other side of who I've been, you know, for quite a while that's been covered up by my old brand. So I want to close out my own story pretty much. And that's, okay. You know, that's the whole goal.
Now, you have a single called Unbreakable Me. And I've listened to that single, and it tells a story. And it tells such an amazing story that so many women can relate to, of all walks. And how did you come up with the lyrics?
Well, thank you, first of all. And I was definitely hoping that it can connect with people. I actually collaborated with Pharoah, his name is Pharoah, he's a producer, and he wrote he was a part of the production of Blame It on the Alcohol with Danny Fox and and a couple other artists that he worked with that are really, you know, well known and have some really good music out there. And he and I had met and I told him my story and I told him that I wanted to sing, and you know, he didn't know that I could really sing. He just thought I was just...
It seems as if our connection was broken. Let's see. We're going to try to see if we can get her back. And I have to tell you, this is just an amazing story that we all can learn from. So what I'm going to do is we're going to get her back and let her continue to tell her story. However, in the meantime, we're going to play Unbreakable because I really think you should hear this in its entirety.
Been through the rain, so many obstacles in my way.
They try to harm me, but I just won't break. I'm unbreakable. I'm unbreakable. I'm unbreakable. I'm unbreakable. Been through the fire, been through the pain, been through the storm, been through the rain. So many obstacles in my way. They try to harm me, but I just won't break. Thought you just told me I couldn't stand on my own, but I'm still here, baby. I'm still here. Tried to destroy me, took everything that I own, but I'm still here, baby. I'm still here. Ooh. You can't break me down. You can't break me down. You can't break me down. I won't let you break me.
Unbreakable. What an amazing, amazing single.
Oh, thank you.
you are more than welcome, because, you know, that just, it's like a testimony, and a lot of women can stand up and say that, because there have been so many women who have endured so much, and they can turn around and say, it didn't break me.
Yes. Yes.
And, yeah. And you are the one who's delivering that message to us, so He's using you again to tell us we can do it.
Yes. Yes. And more than anything, it was a great release for myself, because, you know, people just think when you have a family that's, you know, privileged in music and entertainment, that, you know, your life just, you know, so easy and nothing ever happens. And, oh, how could domestic violence happen to her? She has all these brothers and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you just, you know, there's so much to that. A lot of people don't understand that sometimes it's not to that extreme where you have to, you know, you even want to include your family, or sometimes you're not ready to let it go. Or sometimes those are the ones that actually have those people who know that, you know, something can happen from what they're doing, that it can be elevated, you know, and someone can get hurt. But sometimes, you know, those are the ones that don't tell, because they know that.
Mm-hmm.
So I get, you know, a lot of clients, because I counsel a lot of domestic violence victims, and you would be so surprised who it is. And so just being able to release that, you know, that space of not just, you know, from the domestic violence, but just from what life can bring to you and the brokenness that entertainment can take you to, you know, or what could stem from you being an entertainer, the energy that can come into your life, or just, you know, trying to make it, and, you know, people who hold back and judge you and treat you bad, you know, and want to see you down, or want to see you, you know, kiss their butt, or, you know, stop believing in you because you want to do something different, you know, all those things really, you know, trying to figure out life, trying to raise children, you know, dealing with all the things that come along with that. And, you know, that is a part of that was my life. And a lot of times people, you know, they think it's the, oh, I'm a fool, say it more, male, as I smile. You know, it's just only that. But there's so much more. And I'm hoping that I can set the bar for, you know, other artists that only tell one side of the story, and that can, you know, let people know, hey, we real people. This is not all hunky-dory, so that people can also be appreciative of where they came from, too, not just wanting to be only like us. You know what I mean?
Yes, 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 indeed. Because I believe that oftentimes we, as viewers and, you know, the public, get this belief that if we are in that realm, this is how it's going to be for us. And a lot of our younger, more influenced patrons and young adults, they want to gravitate to that because they see the glitz and the glamour. They don't really know exactly what's going on behind the scenes.
They don't have a clue. I had a baby that came to me the other day. She's 24. And it's my friend's daughter, and she's been in entertainment. Her mom as a video pool. And it was interesting because she was very interested. The daughter, 24-year-old, her mom sent her to me to help her find a job because I, you know, that's another part of the bling is we, you know, help women find jobs too and get them ready for work. And I have a lot of relationships with employers that hire them. And so she came, and of course that always gives me a chance to really talk to them and, you know, give them some truth because of the misperception that they're under of the delusion that they're that they're under of what they could possibly be around entertainment. So she told me she wanted to, you know, she couldn't think of nothing but being in entertainment. That's all she wanted to do in life. And so, you know, without discouraging her, you know, I told her, I said, well, why is it just only entertainment? Why, you know, it's a psychology to reaching people because, you know, they'll think, oh, you're trying to break them down or you don't want them to make it or, you know, you jealous or you judging them or whatever. There's so many different, you know, outcomes. So I'm very thankful that, you know, I have the gift to try to figure out how to reach them, you know, and it's a lot to pull out. But, you know, I told her, I said, why would you just focus on one part of your life, you know, and not expound on all your gifts and talents? And so, and the sad part was that I looked at her paperwork and she just had a GED. She didn't even have her GED yet. And I'm like, You can't. I'm like, you want to be called a dummy all your life? You want people, this is going to always come back to, do you have your diploma or your GED? You know, this is going to haunt you and it's going to make you feel like crap. And I said, and add an entertainment, you know, onto it of an industry that you can't control when you don't even understand the business, you know, that's going to even make your life and your esteem even worse. I said, you're going to have to build, you know, self-schema components around your life so that, you know, you could be encouraged and not discouraged because after you find out how many people you have to rely on and relationships you got to build and the fact that you don't even know what to look for or what to do, you know, that's not going to feel good to you and you could possibly end up on drugs or on the street somewhere trying to figure it out.
Mm.
And, you know, so I was able to, you know, kind of bring out what she did and liked. So, you know, I talked to her and said, why don't you become a publicist, you know, where you could do some event planning and some, you know, different things where you could, you know, do what you enjoy doing and also go to school for it and get an expertise versus, you know, just thinking something when it's not correct, you know, and wasting your time. I said, you'll look up 20 years and that's all you'll be doing is trying to chase something that ain't doing nothing for you because you don't understand. And you can't control it. And it was great to be able to reach her and tell her that. And she was so settled, you know, I'm going back to school. So I'm going to let her do an internship there at the Bling with me and then also, you know, help her get back in school and finish her GED. But it's so many people that's, you know, just going into a direction that's not healthy for them because they're this misperception of what they're thinking.
Yes, indeed. Yes, there. You are absolutely right. We do have a group, a community of youth who really believe that what the little voices in their head tell them is true. And they have no one to guide them and show them that what you're thinking is not going to benefit you in the long run. And it's great that someone like you has an organization like Bling and that you make yourself available to them to explain and show them that there is a better way. What you were thinking may not be the best option for yourself, and here are other options for you to consider. That is so important, and it's valuable and needed, and it's just a blessing that you're doing it.
Well, thank you. And you know, it's interesting that, you know, I often would get, well, you did it, and, you know, such and such. And I said, let me explain to you that I'm still in school right now because, you know, and you've seen what I did. What makes you feel that you don't have to go or you, you know, shouldn't go? You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, you know, there's things that can come along with. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. I get all into that. I get all passionate about that. But, yeah, it's important. It's critical. Information, as you know, knowledge is power, and the unknown is what's tricking people into, you know, being distracted from how they could really reach their truth, you know. So I enjoy keynote speaking and just really being able to talk to masses of groups where they can really get the truth, you know what I mean, without being discouraged but empowered to move into a different dimension, but not necessarily let go of that, you know, part, because as you know, if it's their gift and if it's their calling, then, you know, then yes, that's a difference. But a lot of people, I mean, you know, if you look at the world, we all could rap and sing and dance and, you know, everybody could do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, can you get paid from it? And can you do something that makes sense from it, you know, without losing other things from it? Or can you, you know, use it as a hobby until you could understand and figure out what could work for you, because you really don't even know. This is entertainment. They look on TV and they think it's reality. This is entertainment. Everything is scripted reality. Everything is put together to entertain you, to make money, to, you know, do their business. Their business is to make money. That's nothing. There's nothing wrong with that, you know. So you have to figure out the truth and how you could do it, make money, not necessarily based on this entertainment.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
So it makes me feel good to be able to present that to them, you know, and just see their, and then bring them tools to help them, you know, find other things and, you know, and expand in their mind on, you know, on how they could make it and move forward.
Now, are you excited about tonight?
Girl, yes, I am. I am, because I love the old school. I love old school music. My mother raised me on old school, right? Old school and gospel. And I just gravitate to it. And so I was saying this for the last 2 years. I was like, I want to get on the old school tour. I want to be on the old school tour. I didn't know I was going to be on it and also performing with the old schooler. I just thought I was going to be on, you know, on the tour and open up and be able to participate in it, you know, with them. And so, yes, I'm excited to be able to work with Michael Henderson and getting ready to meet him in a few minutes in person to go and do a little quick practice.
Oh, great, great. And it's going to be at Yoshi?
Yes, it's going to be at Yoshi's in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent, excellent. And, I mean, oh, now, before, you know, we let you go, because I know you got to get yourself together and ready for this, how can people find out more about your fragrance line and the other ventures that you're involved in?
Sure, you can go to Sugar Tea Fragrances, and that will get you straight to the fragrance information, and then beaboutit.biz. Beaboutit.biz is that'll get you to Bling, because it's a movement, a part of the Be About It movement, and then the Sugar Tea Press. So if you just say Sugar Tea in the note or Tanina, it'll bring up all that stuff in Google.
Oh, great, great! That's excellent, excellent. We didn't talk about Hip Hop Mom Productions.
Yes, Hip Hop Mind Productions. We produce all of my, you know, music projects that are out, and you can see all of them on Sugar Tea Press, the SugarTeaPress.com site, as well as on iTunes. They can actually purchase the album Unbreakable, and in a couple other projects that we produce. So we're a, you know, subsidiary of my brother's label, but in the element of doing the kind of music that I do, and we produce the projects and put them out.
And you really are a multidimensional woman, and you're a Renaissance woman, and it's great. It's just so good to have role models that we can really look at that are actually have gone through the rain and the fire and are standing strong and tall, and they're standing there with open arms to let us know that it's okay and you can do it and you can make it. That is just so important nowadays, because a lot of people don't reach back.
Yes. Yes, you know, and thank you. I said that was another motivation, is I said I want to be an educated woman that is not going to, you know, be the type of woman that has education and that looks down on people and don't want to share and can't connect to, you know, the masses, but yet still mm-hmm. can hang with the best of them. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes,
so
indeed.
So it feels good.
Well,
I want to be a down-to-earth, educated woman.
That is, it's not wrong with that. That's all good, you know. And
yes.
I just want to tell you thank you so much for taking the time out to, you know, sit with us and chat and let us get to know about you and the different things you're involved in and about your amazing performance tonight. And if time permits going forward in the future, you have any other ventures that you want to come on the show and tell us about, please feel free to come back and join us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed myself, and you're a wonderful person just for being able to be a vehicle for people like myself. And I appreciate you keeping me in the mix. Keep me in the mix.
You got it.
And I will get you some fragrance. You send me your mailing address, and I'll send you a gift from the fragrance line. So that
okay.
I can stay in your heart and so that you can continue to be unbreakable.
Great. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure indeed. And a lot of people don't understand that this particular, what we do here at the Coco Express Show is we like to give people options. We want to let them see how to live their best life while they're wide awake. And this is showing them that when you're awake, there's so much you can accomplish. Don't sleep things away. Don't sleep on yourself. Get out there and do. And having people
yes.
like you on the show
yes.
lets them know, get up and do.
That's beautiful. And, yes, whoever's listening, definitely, when you sleep, you could sleep for a second, but get past that thought and that emotion and get back up and figure out what you do have in front of you that you can work with, which a lot of times is your life, your health, and your strength. And sometimes even if it's just your mind, even if you're in one place, you could work that out. There's people that's looking for people that's home and can't get up and go nowhere to work for them and help them and keep you going at the same time. So there's just so many different places from brokenness that can expound. You can expound on brokenness is what builds us, and we're supposed to take that energy to create and find new ways, new things, and take the time to reinvent and find something that we can do that could take us to a different place, because sometimes staying in the same place is not where God wants us. So enjoy it.
Thank you. Thank you. And on that note, we're going to close the show because there's nothing more to be said.
All right. Have a
yes.
wonderful day.
You enjoy yourself tonight. Have fun. Just enjoy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So to all my listeners, thank you so much for your continued support. And you will hear from us when we have more stuff going on, as we always do. So we'll keep you in touch. We'll keep you informed, and we'll keep you on point. Have a wonderful, wonderful day, and be well.
That's our show for today. So until next time, keep it real, listen, learn, and live.